One of the artists appearing there is Andrea Keller. If you were listening last week to the music show, you would have heard a conversation with Paul Kelly about his new album Nature and setting to music words by the likes of Walt Whitman and Dylan Thomas and Philip Larkin. Some of those same poets turn up in Andrea Keller's Still Night, her song cycle, and that's one of the works which is being performed in Port Ferry this weekend. We'll talk to Andrea in a moment after we have heard a song from Still Night. This is a setting of words by Sarah Teasdale.
Perhaps if death is
That was a song from Still Night by Andrea Keller. The words for that from Sarah Teasdale. And we heard the voices of Jan Slater and Vince Jones and the unmistakable guitar of Stephen Magnusson. In actual fact, all three sounds are unmistakable. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Andrea Keller to the music show again. Hello, Andrea. How are you doing?
Hello, Andy. I'm well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk, first of all, about the piece, Still Night, because I know you've spoken about it before on our end, but you haven't spoken to me. So tell us the background to it and what it consists of, because it's a big piece.
It is. It's a 60-minute song cycle made up of 10 songs and one short instrumental reprise. And a few years ago, I was looking for a new project. I felt like I needed to, I'd just let go of my long-running quartet that had ran for 17 years, and I was really looking for something new to put my creative energy into. And one thing that had been troubling me for quite a few years was my experiences of loss and grief, and how the people around me dealt with those losses and the emotional state that myself and other members of my family were in. And I realised that I felt like in our culture we aren't that open about dealing and talking about death and loss and grief, and I felt that this was one of the big problems. At the time it was something that I felt like I really needed to share with other people, but no one was really that open to being a part of it.
Yeah, we don't even like to use the word death, do we, or die?
No.
We say passed away or now just passed.
That's right. And I started to look into other cultures a little bit and realised that not all cultures deal with these issues in the same way, and some cultures are quite the antithesis of ours in that they all rally together and they really sort of come together as a community in a supportive kind of thing. And I thought, well, with my experiences, I at least want to try and talk about this a little bit and get the subject out in the open, because I know that deep down a lot of people feel the way I do, and they feel quite isolated when they go through these really intense moments in their lives. So I thought I'll write music about it because that's what I like to do. And I had been working for many years with the late Alan Brown, and as you and your listeners probably know, he was a great fan of poetry and, in fact, a poet himself. And he would often give me books of poetry or, suggest books or things for me to read. And also at the gigs we played, he would often recite poetry and then we would do free improvisations to the text, which I really loved. So I thought, well, maybe I'll delve into the poetry thing, because Alan had already introduced me to quite a few important ones. And I found that also fantastic from a practical point of view, because I had three children and, you know, life's quite busy. So reading a novel had kind of left me. The time to do that was not in my life at that time. So reading poetry was something that was very manageable for me. And I also really loved that it wasn't always literal. You know, there's such an open way that you can interpret it and just even let the words roll over you and find feeling and meaning in them for yourself. So I thought that this would lend itself really nicely to music. So then I set about finding poems that were had themes centred on death and grief and loss.
There's a fair few of those.
Oh, there's so many. And I wanted to be really thorough. I tried to be incredibly thorough, but I'm sure there's so many brilliant ones that I missed. But I had a very, very long list that then I, over a long period of time, whittled down into this short list of 10 poems that I felt one important thing for me was that they weren't all morbid and incredibly sad or anything, that there was quite the array of views on death and loss and grief that we can have, because of course there's many stages in these emotional processes that we go through. So the one we just heard then, If Death Is Kind, I felt was quite an optimistic and very sort of joyous way at looking at death and suggesting that perhaps we could come back and, you know, if death was kind. And there are, you know, the Marcel Proust poem is really about suffering and depression. And then there's, of course, Do Not Go Gentle into That Good Night, Dylan Thomas's fantastic poem about fighting death. And then Darest Thou Now, O Soul by Walt Whitman, which I think is about courage in facing death. And then, you know, quite a few in between.
And finding the order for these, was that how you found the structure of the piece?
Yes, yes. The order of those emotions and the journey that we could go on with those definitely influenced the structure of the whole song cycle and where the pieces were placed. And it also affected my concepts in terms of compositionally how I approached things and, you know, perhaps what tempo things were at or which key I might have chosen to do them in, because I wanted that to be moving as well, of course, over the 60-minute duration. So that was all impacted by the poems, definitely.
And instrumentation as well, because although we heard Stephen Magnusson playing his guitar so beautifully on that song, you play piano on this mm-hmm. album, and
yes.
and the redoubtable Julian Wilson plays tenor saxophone and also bass clarinet. So there's actually the range of sounds, which you use quite sparingly.
Yes, I think there's only two songs where we all play together. Actually, there's three, I lie. There's three songs out of the 11 tracks where we're all together. And then I was quite conscious about how I use the instrumentation in the rest of the pieces, and also with the voices particularly, making sure that there were some features for Gian and then some features for Vince, and then they both have moments where they do backing vocals, and then there's other pieces where they have quite an equal role, and it's very much a duet. And then I tried to, in terms of the accompaniment, the instrumental accompaniment, I was very conscious about who would be playing what when, and not to have it all thick and everyone in all the time, but to really try and draw out some special nuances in the music and things that could enhance those emotional moods that I felt I wanted to portray through these texts.
Did you find that you felt a kind of responsibility to the poems? Because, you know, they don't need music. They're sitting, you know,
Keats, right.
Keats's work has been sitting there quite happily for a few hundred years, and it's not crying out, set me to music, is it?
No. And in fact, one thing that I did spend quite a bit of time doing was just reading the texts and finding where I felt emphasis was and where there could be room for phrase breaks or things like that. And in fact, I did spend some time researching online if I could hear the poets themselves reading their poems, which I did for a couple of them, which was very helpful for me, because I felt that even if I'm reading the poem and I feel that the emphasis would go here and there and the rhythm would sound like this, it doesn't mean that that's the way the poet necessarily heard it or envisaged it. And there's a great online on YouTube, there's a great reading of Do Not Go Gentle Into That Good Night by Dylan Thomas himself, and he really sings it. And so what I did, I actually transcribed pitch-wise and rhythmically how he recited his own poem. And that's the foundation of that song.
I didn't spot that.
Yes. It's really interesting, actually, if you just were to listen to it online, the way he reads it, it's quite phenomenal.
Well, Yeats, too, was a big singer, and you've got one of his poems, haven't you? I mean, he really, he does, he sings his words.
Yeah, I can't now recall whether I heard Yeats do his, but...
We've talked a bit recently to people, including perhaps most recently Jeremy Rose, about Iron in the Blood, about extended works, because there are, I mean, I'm hesitating to use the word jazz here, but I'm going to anyway, because you're a jazz pianist, and there are lots of examples of going beyond just doing a kind of short improvisation, turning something into a structure which has many parts and where one thing leads to another and where, you know, you don't hear the ending quite the same way as you would have done had you not been listening for an hour to what came before. Perhaps you could talk a little bit about your approach to working in that kind of extended way and how you choose, for example, which instruments to work with and how to deploy your forces.
Well, in terms of the composition itself, like I obviously had the texts first and I had an order that I thought they worked well in terms of the emotional journey that they would take the listener on. And then because I was working with a limited amount of themes that had, you know, perhaps different takes on them, I found that it was best if I came up with musical motives that represented specific things. Like, so I had a motive for love and I had a motive for sadness and, you know, motives for different things. And those musical motives I then use, like, cross-pollinated between the pieces. So even though it may not be obvious on first listen or even on multiple listens, compositionally there are motives that I stretch through all the pieces. So that was something that became quite important to me as a way of tying it all in together, even though I think that all of the pieces can stand on their own. They could exist in a different repertoire as individual pieces, but together there's definitely, I'm trying to create a thread between them that ties them, not just through the theme, the sort of external theme, the theme of death, grief and loss, but the musical themes within them. And then, as I said earlier, and I'm generally very conscious of this anyway, even if I'm not creating a song cycle per se or a 60-minute larger work, even if I'm putting together different songs for another program, I'm still very conscious about making sure that there's a nice balance of variety, but also of things that can tie it all together. So I think a lot about tempo and rhythmic structures and groove elements and how I can vary those slightly, but also find connections between the various aspects that I'm using. Also with key, I really like to think about keys and how keys are moving over a long period of time, like tonality, how that's going to move. So I'm very conscious about mapping that out, in fact, and when things can come back as a way of bringing them home, so to speak. And all of those things are sort of going on in the planning.
And you're writing for musicians here who don't like to be restricted. I mean, they're all great improvisers, so presumably there's something about the quality of the music that you compose which leads to or can lead to improvisation, can inspire improvisation, can accommodate it.
Definitely. I mean, this song cycle is really quite notated compared to a lot of the other music that I write, but still there's room for improvisation in there. And even when I gave Gian and Vince particularly the parts, I said to them, you know, these are melodies, but they're kind of written in lead sheet form, in that the rhythms are quite simplistic. And I want you to embellish on them, even in terms of the pitches and ornamentation and phrasing. And, you know, they don't need to be sung as strictly as they're written on the page. Because I was writing for these people specifically, I've listened to a lot of Vince Jones since I was 14 years old, and he's been one of my heroes. So I wanted him to sing like Vince, you know, sing how he sings, but sing these melodies.
You're listening to The Music Show on RN, and my guest is the composer and pianist, Andrea Keller. When you compose, does your music come out of the piano, do you think, or does it happen somewhere else?
Well, my process for composing is that I always sit at the piano initially, after I've done the sort of, after I've figured out what it's about and I've mapped it out and had some thoughts about, you know, general kind of structure and conceptual ideas, then I spend time sitting at the piano and generally working with very, very small ideas and improvising with them. But I actually don't spend that much time at the piano. Once I've found I've got the ideas, then I sort of sit in silence, I think, and develop them with various conceptual tools that I have, and then eventually I put them onto the computer, onto Sibelius notation software, and then they sort of grow into the arrangements that they become. So I'm not sure if it comes out of the piano, but I know that I have to sit at the piano with manuscript, pencil and eraser in order for it to happen.
Nice. Well, you've got lots of different projects. Some of them come and go, and one that's come recently is this, well, it's a new band, really, Five Below, which has got a really interesting structure because you're all members of a rhythm section. I mean, tell us about it. Tell us about the lineup first.
Well, yes, Five Below actually grew out of that exact concept that I wanted it to be full of rhythm section players. So we've got Stephen Magnusson on guitar and then two basses, double bass played by Sam Anning and electric bass played by Mick Marr. Drums, James McLean and myself on piano. So it's a quintet of rhythm sections, rhythm section players, the guitar and the basses, they all use effects pedals and loops and various things. So there's quite a kind of electronic element to it. That, you know, there's quite a vast sound world, let's put it that way. And the piano, though, is treated very acoustically, and I don't have any effects or pedals apart from the three that are attached to the piano. And same with the drums, that's just very much happening working in an acoustic way. And the music we play, again, because we're a bunch of individuals and improvisers, and I so cherish that in the music and that, you know, in the musical opportunities that I get to live with. So I really wanted everyone to be able to bring their thing to it. So Mick Maher, for example, has quite an extraordinary sound world that he's been working on for a number of years, which incorporates a lot of drone and doom metal kind of sounds, and it can get quite heavy and intense, and it can rattle glasses in the club and and all of that. And you know, so that's been a great element to bring in against Sam Anning's double bass, where he's really such a virtuoso and incredible improviser and uses the bow just as sort of just as well as he does pizzicato. And, you know, so he's an incredibly versatile musician that I often give melodies to in that situation, in that band. So he's not just restricted to a bass role. And we play quite meditative stuff, like not all of it, but one of the places that I wanted to try musically was to look into music that was moving a lot slower than perhaps the songs of Still Night, but music that just took fragments, like very small fragments of other pieces that I've written since 2002, our repertoire dates back to, but I've totally pulled them apart and just taken out the bits that are my favourites, and then we hone in on those favourite little bits and spend really long periods of time with those tiny bits of information, and then see where we get to in the improvisation.
We're going to go out with something which is absolutely not meditative. Well, it is actually earlier in the track, but we're not going to be hearing the beginning of the track. This is from, the band is called Five Below, and the album is called Five Below Live, for obvious reasons. And in fact, Five Below are playing live this afternoon at the Port Ferry Spring Music Festival, and Still Night is happening tomorrow morning at Port Ferry. You'll find the details on the music show's website. Andrea Keller, it's been lovely to talk to you. Thank you very much for coming in and chatting.
My absolute pleasure, Andy. Thank you for having me.